Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Paul Rivera on the line, and he's founder and CEO of Deaf Logix. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, Paul. So excited to get into today's topic. So a lot of entrepreneurs, executives, business owners watch this show, and they're always looking for tips and strategies and things that are going to help them and their businesses. And cybersecurity is a big deal, relevant issue, and lots of updates we'll be talking about regarding Deaf Logix and really the plans going forward and what people should be thinking about. And to kick this episode off, we'll start with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Paul, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Paul, what mission matters to you?
Well, my mission or our mission really is to provide, you know, services and products to our customers. And for me, is basically doing our best to provide those services and to our customer. One of the things that, you know, I saw a lot of early on in my career was basically sometimes I saw that, you know, things weren't being done as well as it could be. And so that's one of the things that, you know, really, really matters to us is providing excellent work to our customers.
Fantastic. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line to really share, you know, where their heart's at, why they do what they do, and how they're making a difference in the marketplace and in the world. So great to have you on. And maybe before we get into Deaf Logix and the overall topic, which is how we secure our digital assets, let's start a little bit more with who Paul is. So tell us a little bit more about your background and really how you got started in cybersecurity.
Okay. Let's see. How far back do you want to go?
When was it picking up the computer? Were you one of those computer guys that were taking them apart, putting them back together? Like where'd this fascination come from?
Yeah. So I always liked science when I was a kid. One of my dreams was to be an astronaut. Right. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot about, you know, astronomy when I was younger. And however, I was a really bad student. I got left back in second grade and I quit school when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
But, during that time, especially when I quit school, I ended up just going to the library all the time. Wow. And so I started picking like a subject matter that was kind of interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, it just kind of led me into different things like sci-fi, you know. I'd read a lot of sci-fi books and then I would, you know, like, I wonder how that would work. And so then I'd look into physics, right? And then I'd read about physics. And I'm like, oh, wow, how did they figure all this stuff? And then I learned a little bit about math, you know, and it just led me into different areas because I was interested in this one little subject matter.
Hmm.
Flash forward, I guess, in my mid-20s or early 20s, I decided to go back to college or go to college. And then I was going to be a philosophy and history major. And yeah. And then, but it, you know, again, I always tinkered with stuff. I would take little electronic things apart and, you know, put them back together. And then, eventually I took a philosophy course in logic. And then, so I said, well, let me take a computer science course. That's an application of logic. And so when I did that, that's when I'm like, wow, this is really cool. I love programming. And then that's how I got into computer science.
Wow. That's interesting to me because I feel like you had your own self-education, really. Like you took your own coursework, you did your own thing.
Yeah. And it was really, I think, at least for me personally, it was more, you know, what I was interested in. And when I'm interested in something, I really dive really deep into it. And I go down rabbit holes. Sometimes I go down rabbit holes, but when, you know, I feel like, you know, that's kind of like my learning style, I guess.
Yeah.
And then eventually, once I graduated from college, I stumbled into a job doing cybersecurity software development on intrusion detection systems.
Mm.
and network intrusion detection systems. And then that's when I start get into cybersecurity. So, and then from there, you know, did different various aspects of software development and cybersecurity research, which then eventually I ended up starting a company.
So I don't want to skip too far ahead in this because we will 100% talk about the boot camp and everything that you're doing to help others get into the cybersecurity field. Mm-hmm. But just on the more basic level, like what kind of things would you tell for, you know, some individuals that might be watching this that have a natural curiosity that want to kind of pique their interest in that cybersecurity direction? Like what kind of things would you tell them?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of open source online areas where they can kind of do self-learning. I think there's actually also a lot of groups that you can join and learn a little bit about cybersecurity. One of the things that we've been doing, actually, I don't know if you want to talk about the boot camp already.
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So we developed a boot camp in order to get people into cybersecurity, the cybersecurity career field. And so that's one way. Boot camps, there's a lot of certifications and whatnot. Now certifications, I mean, they're good, but if you're not really applying what you're learning, it's not going to stick, right? So I guess if I was starting out right now with no background in cyber, I probably would start off with some type of a boot camp or self-study to get a little bit familiar with the field, see where my interest lies. Because there's a lot of career paths you can take in cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And see which one interests me most, and then just pursue that.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the field, not because I'm any good at it. And my team over here, when it comes to the IT side of things, or otherwise, they already know I'm terrible. But I like doing it. I like talking about it, so it's fun. Yeah. But so going further into today's topic, so securing digital assets. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of executives watch this show. They're looking for tools. They're looking for even just a way to think about, you know, something from a different angle and approach a problem differently. What kind of things should we be thinking about when it comes to just securing our digital assets in general?
It's basically, I would say, the key thing, some of the key things are, you know, making sure that your employees and your IT staff is well educated on the subject matter. Some of the things that a lot of breaches occur, they're really two main reasons I feel in my experience is really lack of education or knowledge or understanding of what how you can be compromised. And that goes from, you know, the CEO down to the, you know, person working at the front desk to your IT professionals. Not being aware of certain things or certain basic security precautions you can take mitigates, if you know the right things, it mitigates quite a bit of the threats out there. The second one, I would say your technology, right? A lot of the technology out there right now is, I think it's progressed quite a bit.
Yeah.
But the main thing I feel is that a lot of times the IT staff doesn't leverage their technology to the fullest, right? So, for example, they might not configure, you know, a firewall properly or they may not configure settings in their host machines. You know, you have to have logging and auditing available. So when you do get breached, you can know what happened, how much damage is on the network and recover quickly, you know, backups, you know, those are pretty straightforward things to do. So.
So taking it maybe one step further, I always find that like cybersecurity is like, you don't know what you don't know, right? And that, yeah. and until something happens or until something, then you're always like, ah, come on, I didn't think this. And then in retrospect, everything seems like, oh, that could have went a lot differently if I would have done some of these key things.
Yeah.
So just taking it one step further for those that, you know, this might be the only cybersecurity interview they've watched all year, right?
Yeah.
Let's take it a step further. So now we got their attention. Like what else should they be doing?
Basics. I would say two factor authentication is real basic and widespread capability now in most IT infrastructure. Email, banking, everything. That mitigates quite a bit. I would say also perhaps I would say educating, you know, your employees on some of the simple things that they can do to prevent compromise. Like, for example, you know, not clicking on phishing attacks, you know, not clicking on links that you don't know where they're coming from. Maybe even verifying, you know, who's emailing you, you know, calling them up and saying, you know, finding out, you know, is this legit? You know, those are really basic things. I mean, I had one time, a couple of new employees were coming in, and they were getting texts from supposedly me asking for a game card. You know, hey, can you put $50 in?
And, wow.
Yeah, and you know, a few people almost fell for it.
Come on!
I actually had one fall for it, and. And so then, you know, we made sure that, hey, the CEO will never ask you for $50 on a game card or $100 on a game card, you know, so do not respond to these texts or emails. So,
no, I totally get it. And these things happen. So I laugh, but you know, it does happen and it's unfortunate that it does, but, let's switch gears a bit. So I want to go further into DefLogix. So first maybe tell us a little bit more about the company overall.
Yeah. I started in 2008. I didn't really get
what a year to start a tech company. Let's not glance over that. You started in 2008. I love this because every time I see someone that started in 2008, all we ever hear about is the bad. I'm not saying it was easy, right? But you're still here. You're still standing. Yeah. Started in 2008. All right. Tell us more. I just had to bring that up.
Okay. So yeah, I was, around 2008, you know, I was at a point where I was like, you know what? I've been in this career for a while. I've seen, you know, all aspects, even the business side of it, you know. And most of the work that I did previously was really government contracting and whatnot. So, and when I think back on it, I think I was kind of crazy and I had delusions of grandeur and I just did it. Right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I was even in debt when I was in bad debt. So launched the company. And then we landed a contract in 2009. And then from there, you know, it was really me. And then I had hired one person.
Yeah.
And then little by little, you know, the next year, you know, hired a little bit more and a little bit more. And then we had a big break in like, I'd say 2011, where we had a partner who couldn't staff the work, and, you know, I ended up hiring like 7 or 8 people.
Yeah.
From there, we just been steadily growing. Today, we're about 70 employees now.
Wow.
So, but you know, it's funny how your initial ideas or initial delusion of grandeur evolves as your business evolves. Right. So
yeah,
when I first started, I was really specializing in network intrusion detection. Mm-hmm. And then, as the bad guys were going and focusing in on, you know, ways of getting in, then we started going into host integrity, you know, research. And then we started doing other things, machine learning, insider threat detection, mitigation. And so it's crazy because, like, you know, initially it was just this one thing, and then now we're into all kinds of different technologies and cybersecurity subject areas.
Man, just a quick sidebar here to talk to the entrepreneurs out there for a moment. We're recording this for context because people will be watching this for years to come. We're recording this in, you know, 2021, the end. We're in December. You can see that little Christmas tree in the back. I love it. I need a Christmas tree in the background of mine as well. I'm in. But, you know, some people right now, they're going through some time. Some people are launching businesses. Some people, unfortunately, you know, maybe they're on to their next business, or, you know, the pandemic, all these things may have kind of disrupted them a little bit. So you, I mean, 2008, we're talking the housing crisis. That'd be the last, like, big major thing that happened in the U.S. that shook the world, really.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of things would you tell people that are kind of going through it right now?
I'd say, you know, just don't give up, right? Persevere through it. I think that's one of the key things I notice about people who start businesses and entrepreneurs. They just don't quit. So, and then always, you know, adapt and learn. And then, you know, sometimes you think something a bad thing, and then it actually sometimes it ends up being better in the long run because you explore other things that you would not have explored if it had not happened to you, right?
So, yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've learned quite a bit in my journey as an entrepreneur is that, you know, you might have some setbacks, but sometimes these setbacks make you a lot better, makes your business a lot better and more resilient. And actually, it's actually a catalyst for growth. So,
man, so true and well said. All right, I want to get into some of the products, so some of the day-to-day nuts and bolts of what you're doing over at DefLogic. So maybe let's start with the Security Gap Manager. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, I could kind of talk about, so with the Security Gap Manager, again, going back in, I'd say in 2012, we had run this some work from Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And it was for host integrity type of research. And the program basically was geared to, you know, do research, build a product, and then create a commercial product out of it. And it was a pretty good program. And so then we developed some technology that basically, you know, secured the host. It was called Entrap. And this other one called Shimmix, which is a BIOS or UEFI based security technology. And so as we tried to commercialize, and that was a big learning curve too, the commercialization, there's a lot of things that go into it, transitioning this research technology into, you know, something that's viable that people will buy. So there's a lot of, learning experiences doing that. And as time went on, because cybersecurity changes so quickly.
Yeah.
As soon as you develop a solution, 6 to 12 months later, it's obsolete, right? So it's not like you're one and done. You know, you have your silver bullet.
Yeah.
You're good to go. It's not like that, especially in this field. It's so fast moving. So over time, as we start growing, it kind of distracted us from doing a lot of the commercial work to get the products going. And so then about a year or two later, we start looking at, hey, let's dust this technology off and see what we can do with it. Entrap. So we did the analysis and we're like, oof, you know, I don't know if, you know, this would be, there's a lot of other vendors who have similar technology now. So, you know, now we're in a more crowded space. So then as we did more research, we started learning more about like Windows and what they put in there. And so we got to the point where, we said, how about we just leverage what Microsoft already put into their operating system? So we looked at that and And so we started looking at best practices, and we have a lot of experience securing systems for, because a lot of the work we do is with Department of Defense. And so we looked at what would be a midway point between, let's say, a Department of Defense computer system and what would be necessary for a business to still have enough security on their system without impacting the productivity of a business. So then we experimented and we saw like we found like a balance of security and productivity, and we made that kind of our standard. So then with the security gap manager, we basically said, okay, what we'll do is we can analyze your system, see how it measures up to the standard that we've developed, that we feel that is it's a fine balance of security and productivity, and then give a ranking, you know, to see where you're at, business or individual, and then basically apply these safeguards that your operating system has, and that's kind of like where the idea was born. So we look at the gap between what our standard is and what you currently have on your machine. And then you have the option of, like, you know, bringing it up to the standard that we've developed, and then maintaining that standard. Mm-hmm. And then so that's the security gap analyzer. And then the manager actually manages it. So when COVID hit and we're like, okay, well, everybody's out working at home and whatnot. So like, let's develop it to where, you know, a small business or medium-sized business can monitor the remote worker security posture, so that way their systems are not compromising the IT infrastructure of the business. So
and that's a big deal, especially with everybody working remote, because that happens so fast, and like the shift was so fast, and some people are going back to work, some aren't, some have, you know, created some of these positions that are permanently going to be remote, and now I feel like there's been, and some, you know, different companies are at different parts of their journey, let's say, with cybersecurity, but maybe some are like in the very, very, they're going to watch this. And this is like, we didn't really think that part of it out, because we just had to keep the doors open. Right. What you're doing for your clients, of course. So I get it. This makes sense. And that's another reason why just cybersecurity in general is just, in my opinion, more pressing than ever with the network effect of people being in so many different places now.
And I, you know, and then, you know, you have potentially people working overseas, you know, or traveling, and they may be using insecure networks, you know, and that can open up a business for a compromise also.
So I know you mentioned that you work with, you know, you've worked with, you know, large government agencies. Do you also work with so businesses? Is it small business, mid-sized business? Like, give us a little bit of a feel for, you know, what types of industries or companies typically get the most value out of working with you and your team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've worked with several small and medium-sized businesses. Some of the services we've provided has been, risk analysis, vulnerability analysis. For example, we had one client where they were kind of a global company, and we had to basically look at all their vulnerability scans and then help prioritize vulnerabilities that were detected to, mitigate and put and apply safeguards and gave recommendations on how to approach safeguarding against some of these vulnerabilities that they have. So that was and it was quite a bit of machines. And so we ended up, they would give us the raw scans and data. So what we ended up doing is automating it. Cause in our company, we have, it's really a software development shop, a focus on cybersecurity research and development and product development.
Yeah.
And so we ended up just automating a lot of the work. And so what would take 2 or 3 days to kind of look at these reports, we ended up writing a tool that would do it in, 10 minutes.
So, wow.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the theme also. So you've mentioned a couple of different things. It seems like you're always trying to innovate, always trying to make things easier, a more friendly experience for your clients, mm-hmm. For their user journey. Just understanding, right, that they're not cybersecurity experts. That's what you're being hired for. Mm-hmm. But they still need the data. They still need to be able to make decisions. They still need to be able to operate, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, even us as a cybersecurity company, I mean, mm-hmm. it's sometimes it can be tough to keeping up with these standards mm-hmm. that, you know, that are being proposed. Mm-hmm. For example, a lot of government contractors have to comply with some new standards. And you know, in our journey of complying with that, we were like, oh, wow, okay, we're a cybersecurity company, and you know, there's a lot of things that we have to get done. And so, it can be a tough area. It's just, you know, getting the right, you know, having the right knowledge and expertise to kind of put everything together and mm-hmm. you know, secure your data and your network.
All right. So changing focus slightly. So you mentioned it a little bit or in the beginning of the interview about this boot camp. So one of the things that just, you know, as we've been talking, I mean, more people are working remote, more people are working international, more people are working in many different places, like cybersecurity risks. They'll be going up, right? People are going to be in different areas. And the education piece just for internal employees is one thing. But for somebody that's looking to get into the industry, I had a lot of conversations with people in cybersecurity just in general. You're the first that I've met that took that step to create a boot camp to help others get in the industry as well. So I think it's pretty innovative personally. So how'd that come about? How'd the boot camp idea come about? Like, tell us more about it.
It came out of frustration.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So we landed some work where we had to provide a lot of cybersecurity professionals and more service based, not software development. And so when we were interviewing, mm-hmm. we noticed there wasn't that many, and the candidates, a lot of the candidates had very little, I guess, experience. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, they were in the right place, right time. But, and then when we interview them, we look for certain types of technical aptitude. Yeah. And, I mean, we didn't see it. And, but they were demanding extremely high salaries.
Okay.
And I'm like, really, you want to get paid that much? And you can't do some of these things that, you know, we need to have. And so, but it was consistent, you know, and it was really, it's a supply issue, right? There's not enough people with, the know-how, on cybersecurity. So, mm-hmm. you know, anyone who has just a little bit of experience can demand high salaries because there's just not enough of them.
Got it.
So, you know, there's a trend in the industry where they're trying to automate a lot of that also, like that mm-hmm. cybersecurity analysis, but still, you know, there's just not enough people in the field. Mm-hmm. So out of frustration, I'm like, you know what, let's, you know, provide a boot camp.
Yeah.
And train people and then also train them in a ways that we would probably want to see for, you know, for our company and for other companies that are in our similar field or similar, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, playground and, you know, and get people in and then, you know, give them an opportunity to get into the field. So that's where, you know, it was started. Right. And so the idea, we had the idea I'd say about a year or two, 3 years mm-hmm. maybe. And so I was talking to a trainer that I've known for many years. Mm-hmm. When I first started, we worked together at this one company back in the day. It was called Trident Data Systems.
Yeah.
And so he was a trainer there. And so we've kind of bumped into each other over the years. And then I kind of talked to him about, I'm going to have to start a training, some kind of training for this. And so he's like, hey, I would wanted to do something like this. Hmm. Can I help you out? And I'm like, okay. And so I kind of gave him a little bit of the idea. And then the next day, boom, he had a business plan. I was like, man, you must have been thinking about this for a while,
Yeah.
So then, I think that kind of the stars aligned. And so, Rob, his name's Rob Dotson. And so, Rob and I, we start talking about it, and he has like so much experience in training in this field, over 20 years. And so I was like,
yeah,
it's perfect to help stand this up for us. Mm. So, he joined the team and kind of was, help get this boot camp off the ground. And so we started in November, mm-hmm. and now we have, I think we have two, no, we have about four more cohorts.
Wow.
Basically in the first quarter of 2022, we're going to.
What an amazing story. And I love my favorite entrepreneurial stories are the ones where like, man, I was frustrated. So I had to fix it. That's like the two F's, right?
Yeah.
I was frustrated and I had to fix it. I just had to do something about it. And I'm like, oh man, I love when entrepreneurs do that. Cause something just happens usually good sometimes in the market. So for example, like you're expanding the market right now, you're bringing in new talent. You've had, blessings in your life. And now you're being a blessing as well. And you're roping in your buddies, getting them involved. Come on, we got to start this thing. So solving problems, it's great. It's a great.
Yeah. And then, and then that kind of, in a way, it's kind of in line with.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like maybe sometimes college can be overkill in some in some professions.
Totally.
And I think the cybersecurity field, there's a lot of opportunity there where. Learning the basic skills can launch you into a really good career field with lots of different career paths and opportunities.
Yeah.
It's really high in demand. And so I think, the boot camp is a, great opportunity for people who are non-traditional types of learners or students to basically a really cool career path. So.
How long is the boot camp? Like, tell me a little bit more about just the expectation, like that kind of thing, like how long it is, what people can expect.
Yeah. So, we had two boot camp lengths, right? So one was the full-time one, which was, the 3 month, right?
Yeah.
And that would be 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So we saw that, there wasn't as much interest in that one. We did have interest in that. And then also we have a 6 month, and the 6 month, one is basically night. You can still have a day job
and go
train at night. So that's the one where we have the most, interest in. So,
and
we have both available. But right now, at least in this first cohort, we started with 6 month night school boot camp.
It's awesome. 6 months later, especially for the person, like you said, like this might not take, years of, and you might not need all these other things you have to do sometimes in college. And just in general, it's like, if you know this interests you, if it's something that you maybe have a passion for and you want to look also for opportunities and you're looking for, like, just do it. Like you don't have to wait and spend all this time. Like a lot of people, and I'm glad this came up, by the way, it's a lot of people that may not, we've been fed to go to college and a lot of these things for a long time, and not saying I'm against college. I will get emails. We'll get all kinds of stuff. Okay, great. I said that, not against it. But in the same sense, it's like, people are paying, like debt and other things. College is a product. Like at the end of the day, college is a product. Vocational school, it's a product. Like there's different paths. And for us to kind of as business owners, so now I'm talking to you as a business owner, for us to, as a business owner, to say that maybe they need that college or this or that. If you don't, and you really could maybe get more value out of somebody else that is more specialized in what you actually need, I mean, all the better.
Yeah.
So I love there being options there, and you're providing options in the market. So I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so some of the things that we're also doing on top of that is, you know, so we have the foundational course, right? And
yeah.
Foundational course, it really gives you that that foundation to actually start a career in cybersecurity. And two other things that we're developing for 2022 are some more advanced courses, one for, I guess, offensive or red team, you know, understanding how an attacker gets into the network and building those types of skills, and blue team. So we have like two more advanced coursework that we're developing for those more for those who want to become more subject matter experts in a particular area. So those are kind of the ones that we're looking forward to, because it's we'll be able to really focus in on some really cool techniques and tactics that, you know, whether a red team or a blue team operators use in securing networks or attacking networks, right? When I say attacking, we're not trying to build hackers, but mainly operators who can actually understand how the attacker mindset in order to improve the defense of the enterprise in your network. So
awesome. Well, Paul, I just have to say it's been great having you on the show today, just learning more about your background, what you're doing at DefLogix. Obviously, the boot camp, just amazing, really a pillar in the cybersecurity community. I have to ask, so what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for the company?
We're definitely being much more aggressive in building our commercial products and services. And some research areas that we are branching out into is a blockchain analysis and security, and cloud security and cloud management. So these are two major areas that we're looking into in 2022 to develop some more products and services on top of this, the course, the boot camp and the security gap manager. So.
Fantastic. So, Paul, if somebody is watching this and they want to learn more or to connect, whether it's about obviously the business side with DefLogix, maybe they have some needs and they want to discuss those with you and your team, or even on the bootcamp side. Mm-hmm. So somebody's watching this and they're thinking about, you know, a career change or furthering their current career in cybersecurity. I mean, what's the best way for people to follow up and to connect?
You can reach us at deflogix.com. www.deflogix.com. Mm-hmm. And if you want to look into more information about the bootcamp, cyberopsacademy.com. Those are two ways you can reach out to us and learn more about us.
Perfect. And we'll put all that for everybody watching. We'll put all of those in the show notes, all the links, everything else. So you can just click on it and just head right on over and check out the information and everything Paul's talking about. And for the viewers, as always, thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time with us here at Mission Matters, just so you know, we're all about sharing the stories of entrepreneurs, executives, experts. We want to know what their mission is. We want to know what gets them up early in the morning, get them fired up to go out there and to make a difference in the world and to really add value to the marketplace and to give back. So if that's the kind of content you like, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming on and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Paul, really, it has been a pleasure getting to know more about you and your company. And thank you for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you.